Hello, I'm Philip Stoughton. I'm here at Apex 2024 and I'm joined by Sean Dubravek of IPC. Sean, always a pleasure to talk to you. I enjoy talking to you when we do the EMS and the Economist shows. And it really is the economy that is kind of making people think a little bit at the moment and preventing people plan as much as they perhaps could normally, which will impact capital equipment decisions and all those kind of things. What are you seeing in terms of trend? How much impact are we having from the election year here and the coincident election in Mexico? What's the overall feel in terms of the outlook for the rest of the year?
I think we're kind of finally through some of the post-pandemic uncertainty and, you know, supply chain disruptions. We kind of worked through that last year. And if you look at North America in particular, you see still pretty strong shipment growth, but weaker order growth. So some of that's working through some of that, you know, that backlog. Overall, the economy held up much better last year than we anticipated. It's held up much better this year so far than we anticipated. I do think there's still a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of uncertainties about monetary policy, and inflation is still stubbornly high. And the markets are starting to, I think, absorb that information and recognize that maybe the Fed won't be quite as aggressive in cutting rates this year as they had hoped. The risk there, of course, is that they wait too long and the economy slows too quickly, and then they're not able to respond soon enough, quickly enough. And so I think there's just a lot of uncertainty. Yeah. Broadly about the near-term outlook over the next, 6 months or 8 months. Anytime we have an election, there's always uncertainty. This year, it feels a little different. I think there's just a lot of apathy. We're still months away, and maybe that volatility will spike as we get closer to November. But it has a little bit of a different feel this year because we've settled so early and so quickly on who the candidates will be.
Yeah, and it's not candidates that people don't already know, and I guess a lot of people that are going to vote have made a decision, and as you say, amongst those that perhaps are unsure, there is apathy, and I think that's an interesting challenge. Meanwhile, there's been a reshoring impact, and certainly when I look at the mid-size EMS companies in the US, they're all doing pretty well, and their challenge is how do we grow with the talent that's available, and how do we, one, recruit more talent, or how do we mitigate talent shortages with automation? Is that something that you're aware of? Is the jobs market changing in the US at the moment?
Yeah, I think to your first point, it's hard to not be optimistic about the longer term in North America, because you see so much investment going into manufacturing construction right now. And all of that construction will materialize as production capabilities. All of that production capability is going to need equipment. So the forces that are driving that are varied. Some of it is obviously the post-pandemic companies wanting to be more agile, more resilient. We've had tremendous investment from government coming into this sector. I also think there's a broader awareness of the need to have a broader ecosystem supported. We've often focused on chips in the US and Europe as well, but perhaps not the broader ecosystem. And I think there's an awakening now to focus on the broader ecosystem. And so there's a lot of shifts happening. You already see some of those taking place. If you look at last year, for example, Mexico became the number one importing partner for the United States for the first time since the early 90s, surpassing China. China lost about 7% of its import market share into the U.S., and Mexico gained a piece of that, enough to push them into the number one spot, something that they'll likely retain this year as well. And so you do see shifts taking place. Also, you have, all of this capacity that will be coming online in the years ahead. Now, to your point about labor, I think that will continue to be a challenge. We've had really strong labor numbers. We have very low unemployment numbers. If you look at the manufacturing sector more broadly, We have more open jobs than we have unemployed in the manufacturing sector. So it will be a tight labor market, I think, for some time, and that will put pressure on, you know, on wages.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing about that is I've been talking to CEOs of EMS companies most of this week, and I've heard positive things about the IPC's apprentice program,
yeah,
but also about the training programs and their ability to get people on the line, get them trained, and get them into a more qualified position where they can perhaps be retained more. Some differences in markets to kind of where we were last year. The defense market is strong because of the unrest we're seeing around the world. The EV market perhaps isn't as strong as we expected it to be, and there seems to be a bit of a stalling there. What do you see in terms of the broader markets? I know you're going to be talking about this afternoon, but
yeah, I mean,
give me an insight.
Defense obviously is very strong, and I think that's one of the areas that has helped the U.S. be more resilient than, say, for example, Europe, where you have a greater exposure to defense and aerospace. When it comes to the EV market, I think that's a more tricky narrative because we saw it double last year. It's not going to, you know, double this year. So the growth rates are slow, but you're still looking at very strong growth rates. So maybe the uptick isn't as fast as everybody would like, but there is still a lot of investment going into the broad EV ecosystem. And the sell-through is still quite strong relative to other categories. Obviously, it's coming off a smaller base, so those growth rates are going to be higher. But there is still, I think, a lot of investment that's going into that more broadly. And you see that, I think, both in the U.S. and in Europe, where they're looking at a green transition, not just vehicles, but more broadly. And I think that the electronics industry will benefit from that.
Yeah, and I think actually what's interesting is, as I talk to people about the EV market, there were people reminding me that actually the automotive market is still, even in internal combustion, there is still more and more electronics going into there. We're talking about the kind of software-defined vehicles. That kind of area is a big area. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and when I look at the auto sector more broadly, I see everything up for grabs. I mean, I look, and the sector is redefining everything from dashboards that go pillar to pillar to the ADAS systems that are becoming more integrated with the environment of the vehicle. So it isn't just the drivetrain that's changing when it comes to the electrification, you know, and the electronics that are going into vehicles. But I see everything up for grabs. When you look at EVs, you know, you don't need a front grille, for example. Yeah. And so now companies are looking at what can we do there? Do we put an OLED display there? Do we do something else? So electronics are starting to show up in places where we would have never anticipated them.
Yeah, and I actually think what's happening as a result of that change in the drivetrain is we're seeing a change in the supply chain, and actually a lot more is up for grabs for the EMS companies than perhaps has been in the past. And there is a tendency with some of the vehicle manufacturers to displace some of their traditional tier ones that were providing them with the engine parts, with tires, with braking systems or whatever, and look to work direct with the EMS companies. So there's some exciting opportunities there as those markets change.
Especially if the EMS companies are bringing real value and real expertise to the table. So I think there's a real opportunity for EMS companies to become much more strategic partners, not just outsourced partners, but bringing real know-how to that market. And I think you see that happening from a lot of the suppliers. They're recognizing, hey, we can innovate, we can create compelling technology that we can now bring to our partners and have that integrated. And so there's a lot, I think there's a lot up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean, I look forward to hearing you speak this afternoon. Always a pleasure. Great to talk to you, and enjoy the last day of the show.
Yeah, great to see you.